this morning, well, excuse me, let me get my PowerPoint on. All right, this morning, I'm not really sure I have a concise title or theme, but we have some scriptures to look at, and I guess we could call it inspiration from Luke 1. In preparation, I just felt the prompting or urge to text Marietta and say, hey, can you pray for worship time Sunday morning? Pray for me as I prepare and pray for the time. And then I also mentioned, if you have any suggestions of scriptures or songs, I'd be happy to hear them. And not even 15 minutes later, she replied back with these scriptures. So praise the Lord, and thank you for your part, Marietta. Just a little credit there. And maybe this is a plug. If you're having a hard time coming up with something, you might want to text her or call her. She might have a suggestion. Anyhow, you may turn with me to Luke 1. I have it on the slides here for responsive reading, but I'd also like for you to be able to reflect on it on your own time, because it doesn't all fit on one slide. So we're going to be looking at Mary's song and Luke's song. No, not Luke. Zechariah's song. Luke is writing it, of course. Let's begin with Mary's song, reading responsibly. You all read the bold. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of my humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds in his life. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful and thank you. I'm going to open it up for your observations. Are there themes or truths you see here?
It seems to reflect the same thing that Arlen has been talking about in 1 Corinthians, that God chooses the small, weak things and unchooses persons who are haughty in their own thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Mary is extremely grateful, but she's going through a hard time.
I love the way it says he fills the hungry with good things. It's God filling our soul hunger, and I love that.
Mm-hmm. That hunger statement is both an encouragement and a warning. I thought of Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger. Mm-hmm.
And she's especially, I think she's, as she's kind of singing or prophesying this, she's really recognizing kind of like her place in history, and she mentions the generations before her. She's seeing herself in that. And I want us to do the same thing, you know. We are tremendously blessed as well. Not the same blessing that Mary had, but sometimes we almost don't know what to do with it, and I think we see an example here. Very good. You all are thinking of pretty much the same things that I was thinking of. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's move on to Zechariah's song. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has
He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. By which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. Thank you. And if you have observations or responses to this this song, I'm just gonna ask you to hold them for a little bit. I'm gonna open it up for prayer here in a minute or two, and we'll have an open prayer time then for Thanksgiving and songs and responses to this. I would make just a few connections. The first two songs that Nelson led, I thought of those right away when I read this passage, because there's this declaration of God's power and his defense of us and all that he's done through the generations, through creation and through Jesus, really. And then it also has maybe a quieter tone when we talk about the path of peace, peace, perfect peace. I don't know if we've ever really thought of those two songs together, but I think in light of this song, my mind went to both of those themes. So thank you, Nelson, and thank you for your help in interpreting those songs as well. We see Zechariah talking about salvation. He talks about salvation from enemies in the first half. It's a lot of kind of the same sort of Old Testament language that we usually hear, and then he does, you know, in the latter half talk about salvation through the forgiveness of sins. So he's not just talking about physical enemies, which it's easy to think why he may have been thinking about that. They were under Roman oppression. But he does make this prophecy, this proclamation of the coming salvation of forgiveness of sins. His mercy, going back to Mary's song, let's see if I can keep my notes here. One phrase she said here was, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And in Zechariah's song, he mentions fear as well, but in a different response. He says, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. And that phrase, along with some other phrases, and this was a suggestion of Marietta's as well, was Amazing Grace, the song Amazing Grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. I noticed that phrase, and that's probably been my favorite line in that song, because it's poetry, right? You know, it's kind of this play on words, but it finds that thread of grace that rescues us from fear on one hand, but teaches us to fear on the other. And of course, Zechariah's song speaks of grace, sustaining grace in light of the enemies and the ones we are defended from, but also the grace of the forgiveness of sin, of the work of the cross. And he doesn't call it that, but we know it is that, right? We know of the work of Jesus. And he does mention Jesus in different metaphors. He talks about prophet of the Most High. and going before the Lord to prepare a way for him. And I feel like horn of salvation, raised up a horn of salvation, may also be a term for Jesus. And when I heard horn of salvation, I said, what does that mean? And of course, I said that because I'm a modern person. I don't know their language, and I did just a brief look. And horn of salvation could maybe be one of three things. Horn represented might and power. There's talk of, I think there's the psalm where it talks about God cutting off the horns of the wicked and raising up the horns of the righteous or something like that. So that would actually, you know, you would think of the horn of a bull as being its might, its strength. And of course, that holds with God as well. But horns could also be a container for oil, you know, to anoint with oil. So we can see that metaphor work as well. And as well, a horn could be a trumpet blast. So we see that. We see that as well. The time is fleeing. I've talked too much. Let's turn to 676, Amazing Grace, and I'll invite you to sing this song with us. Oftentimes when I sing a familiar song, my mind wanders. And in this case, I give you permission to let your mind wander, but let's let it be under the submission of God. Let's let him wander our mind to what he wants to speak to us. So let's open our hearts to whatever he wants to tell us. And then once we're done singing this song, I will just briefly open it for prayer, and then we will go to Sunday school.
Oh.
yours just for a few minutes. Offer any prayers of thanksgiving or anything you have to the Lord.
Lord, I want to say thank you that Zechariah could recover from unbelief, from doubting, and he could come to a place of praise.
Thank you.
We take courage and we say thank you.
Jesus, thank you so much that you came to set to right everything that was wrong.
Yes.
That you came to undo everything that was un-God to make it so that God can dwell with us.
Yes.
Thank you for your...
Thank you for turning our darkness into light.
Yes.
Thank you for your wonderful grace that you've extended to us in the past, and that same grace will lead us. Thank you.
God, thank you for being here with us, and I just pray that we would take these things in our heart and that it would just be preparing us for everything else you want to speak to us today. I just pray for the Sunday school hour that your spirit would be with us to open the scriptures, the word, and to speak to us. God, I also pray for the one bringing the message. Just be preparing his words in our hearts to hear. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. At this time, the children's teachers can be dismissed.